Hello and welcome to another episode of Once Upon a Nightmare. I am your host, Lorraine Purden, and for the month of August, I am mixing things up a bit and going all crime-esque with my episodes, where each week I will be joined with a guest to discuss certain movies that are not exactly horror, but let's face it, these films are pretty violent and scary in other ways. For my final episode of the month, I am joined by my husband, Dev. Dev has been on before, where we discussed American Psycho and a bizarre film called Rubber. He isn't a podcaster. Yes, they exist. And he doesn't even listen to them, but I have made him come on again. Hello, Dev. How are you all?
I'm very well, thank you. Hi, I'm Dev. I'm podcaster Dev. Sorry. I had to take that moment to take the piss out of my wife, bring her down to ground level.
Why? Because I've got a podcast voice.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I forgot about Rubber Man. That was diabolically bad.
I know. That was so bad. But how are you anyway?
I'm good. I'm half asleep from putting Riley to bed. But no, this is a classic film. And one of the ones that I was actually happy to watch instead of your weird-ass rubber shite.
You liked American Psycho.
I love American Psycho. These are classics.
And you wanted to watch Rubber.
I did, but because I wanted it to be absurdly bad. And I suppose I got what I wanted.
Okay. But so for the end movie, I'm going with one of my favorite movies of all time, and this is Dirty Harry.
This is about a movie about a couple of killers. Harry Callahan. And a homicidal maniac. The one with the badge is Harry.
Halt!
Reasons they called him Dirty Harry. And he kept inventing new ones.
Don't pass out on me.
That was a pretty good pinch you made yesterday. The chief was pleased.
He was, huh?
Yeah, he really was. He wanted me to tell you, well done.
I tell you, how deeply moved I am.
How do you like that? I pass along a compliment? You could at least be a little bit polite. It might not even kill you to say thanks.
Much rather say thanks to a raise.
Hey, Harry, check communications. Some from Chicago. A gun nut.
I'm putting somebody with you.
You know what happens to the guys that I've worked with. Dietrich's still in the hospital with a bullet in his gut, and Fanducci's dead.
Now, you're working with Gonzalez, or you're not working. Now, that's straight from the fifth floor. You got it?
Mr. Mayor, Inspector Callahan.
All right. Let's have it.
Have what?
Your report. What have you been doing?
Oh, well, for the past three quarters of an hour, I've been sitting on Sam, your outer office, waiting on you.
Damn it all, Harry, that's the mayor you're talking to.
Clint Eastwood. Detective Harry Callahan. You don't assign him.
Stop!
To murder cases. You just turn him loose.
Oh, what the hell is he doing up there?
Dirty Harry was released in 1971 and directed by Don Siegel, and it's part of a film series along with Magnum Force in 73, The Enforcer at 76, Sudden Impact in 83, and The Deadpool, not Ryan Reynolds, in 88, and Clint Eastwood would appear in all films as Harry Callahan. Dirty Harry drew inspiration from real-life serial killer Zodiac, which Dev didn't get. The murderer is known as Scorpio, played by Andrew Robinson, and he is terrorizing the streets of San Francisco. Harry is assigned to the case, but his unorthodox method causes issues in catching the killer. As the killer taunts Harry, Harry takes matters into his own hands to ensure justice is served when the justice system fails the people of San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't make the connection. I was like, oh yeah, Scorpio, Zodiac killer, that makes sense. I didn't know that.
How?
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not a true crime person who, like, spends their evenings watching murders porn.
Yeah, but everyone's heard of the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah, no, I know the Zodiac Killer.
You do, you know him well.
Of course, yeah, he's got a spring in his step, you know.
I'm never going to live that down, is it?
No, you're not.
Was it Jason?
Yeah, Jason and who's the
Michael
other one?
Myers.
Michael Myers, yeah, he just, you know, he enjoys his work, like.
I was just saying how Jason has more of a spring in his step than Michael Myers, that's all. So, what do you think of Dirty Harry?
Okay, so obviously one of Clint Eastwood's most badass roles. Mm-hmm. So very hard, lots of really good like one-liners and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely love that. One of the things that I did watching this was actually spend a little bit more time looking at Scorpio's performance. Because I'd like, you know, you watch the film and you're kind of struck by Clint Eastwood, who just owns the role. But I kind of forgot about how fucking nuts your man who does Scorpio is. He's like proper weirdo kind of stuff going on. I was loving that.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean with him. I suppose because everyone thinks of Dirty Harry as Clint Eastwood for this film. And for me, it was the facial expressions.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's got this like crazy face on him, for sure. I like the bit on the bus with the kids.
Yeah, that's at the very end though. So we're
okay. We'll get to that.
We'll kind of get to it. So I think one thing when watching films, especially back in like the 70s and 80s and stuff, is the language. It's very different to what you would get now. There were certain phrases and the way people speak to each other. I don't mean kind of like cop thing, because cops are very aggressive in how they talk in movies anyway. Like, it's, you know, they don't hold back. But I forgot how certain words against certain.
You're talking about where.
Don't say it.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that kind of weird ball busting stuff. But yeah, with no bears. I think you still get that today.
No, you wouldn't get someone saying the S word.
To a Hispanic person.
Yeah, and you would... Oh, I thought that was... No, the S word is to Asian people.
No, how do you... This shows,
really?
Yeah, this shows how sweet and untainted you are, that you don't know what racist words mean.
No.
Yeah, I can't believe you're Googling this. You're going to get the weirdest ads.
Isn't that how you spell it? Oh, I thought that was what... Oh, no, sorry. No, it is. I was thinking of the C word. I was thinking of the C word.
Yeah.
For Asian people. Yeah, sorry. But yeah, so they were using those words, and the N word is obviously used a lot in this.
Mm.
And, but it's like, I think with Harry, because like they always go on about how much Harry hates everybody, and he is saying all these words, but I think with him, he hates everyone. It doesn't matter what.
But
like,
he doesn't though.
He's
an asshole. But he doesn't hate everyone. He cares about a lot of people.
What I was about to say was, he hates everyone, but when it comes to his job, he will do justice for anyone.
No, I don't think so.
I do.
I think he's like an M&M, you know, hard exterior but sort of soft, chocolatey insides.
No, I don't think... When I say hate everyone, I don't mean like he walks around... I just think he's so jaded by life because of his wife dying that he just doesn't give a shit anymore. But he will still do his job. So he just doesn't like people because he's kind of got nothing anymore apart from his job.
I don't know. I think he's basically the same character as like in Gran Torino. You know, really abrasive kind of asshole, but with a heart of gold kind of thing. You know, like your man, his partner, who, you know, when he sees him in the hospital later, and he's like, yeah, you know, you did the right thing, and, you know, yeah, you probably should get out and everything. And, you know, he warms to him and everything.
No, but I think he's capable of warming to people. I just think, in general, he doesn't like the human race, because obviously when you're a policeman, you see the scum of the scum. Now, I know nowadays... They are the police, but let's not kind of go there.
When he nearly, to be fair, okay, I'll concede one thing, which is that part where like he nearly runs over those people that were just crossing the road, and he's like, "Get out of the way, hammerheads!" You know, and it's like, dude, you nearly ran them over. Like, so okay,
yeah, but he's doing his job,
so he's kind of an asshole.
No, he is an asshole, but I would rather a guy like him, who's a bit of a prick to people, but really wants justice. Like, he cares about all these people that are being killed. He wants it stopped, and he does go above and beyond, because like they go on about, why do you call him Dirty Harry? And of course at first they think it's his guy, his partner thinks it's because he's a peeping Tom, because they catch him looking through that window of that woman, who quite frankly she wasn't scared to have her boobs out
hot
in front
Mary.
Of Hot Mary.
Yeah. Oof.
but when she was like standing looking, she didn't bother trying to cover up.
No, well, that's why they call her Hot Mary.
But then we find out that he's Dirty Harry because he gets all the crap jobs. And that guy, like, I loved the way he dealt with that jumper that was going to commit suicide.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's just like, you know, basically, ooh, you know, don't be thrown up down there. You don't, like, he just taunted him. But
yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like that. And he just punches the dude. Like, I'm going to save your life by punching you in the face. That's the kind of police work you want to see, you know, and the torture and stuff. I disagree with his methods in a lot of cases.
Which ones?
Well, like, you know, the, you know, where he goes to the DA's office and the DA is like, none of this evidence is admissible because of the law and stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, he should know that. He's a cop. You know, like, you can't just be like, okay, you know what you know, and so I'm going to torture him anyway. You got to follow the rules. That's what the law is, that no one is above the law.
No, I, all right, I get that. But to be fair, I think with some situation, like, I know you have to have the law because obviously there are cases where the person that they think did it didn't do it. And you wouldn't be fair to treat that person in that way. But if a guy is basically keeping a 14-year-old girl, you know, he's cut off, what did he cut off? Her finger or something. No, he pulled out a tooth. And he's got her underwear. So she's obviously naked.
I forgot about the girl.
Okay, yeah. That's so, but if you know for sure that this person has done it, I don't have any sympathy for him, for Harry, you know, going a bit over the top with him. Like, I don't care. I really don't. But I
think...
Do you
think it's acceptable to shoot a fleeing person?
Would you know what, actually, saying that...
With a leg injury.
Saying that, that you gave
like
him...
He would've cried.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm not being funny. Why did he get the leg injury from him? Because he was trying to kill him.
Yeah, okay, the leg injury, no problem. But, like, surely just chase the guy. You know, like, he's got a stab wound in his leg. You're just catching...
No, but I think, like, I don't agree with the whole shooting thing anyway.
It's like,
but, like,
the guy's,
you know,
leg in it. He's like,
yeah, but at least it was only the leg. He didn't kill him.
No, that's fair.
And he knows that he's the guy. So I find it really hard. But I think those things are in place. They're in place, which is great for people that actually are innocent. But this guy isn't. And Harry knows that. And I know that. So I couldn't give a shit what he does to him.
We're getting well political here, man.
Yeah, but I don't care. I don't care what Harry does to him. Because some people just, they don't deserve mercy.
But we know that he knows.
Yeah.
But in real life, that's not usually the case.
Sometimes it probably is. I think there's probably cases where people know that the person that is doing these things is the person that is doing these things. And it must be awful knowing that you can't just go
and
do what you want to do.
Shoot a guy in the leg and then torture him.
Okay, so if someone... No, but if someone did something to someone we know, like our child, would you be like, oh, well, the law says... No! I'd fucking twist his dick off.
I thought that was just for me. special
but
treatment.
I do that with love.
okay, yeah. No, I know what you mean. I guess I'm trying to align my intellectual beliefs with emotional responses and coming short.
I think everyone knows at the end of the day that you shouldn't take matters into your own hands. There is laws there for reasons. But... if somebody were to beat the shit out of someone who murdered children, I don't think anyone's going to be... Like, I have a really big problem with the term human rights because, as Harry says, because they were like, you violated his human rights. And Harry's like, what about her human rights? And I do think that happens a lot, is people care more about the actual person that's done the shit than the person that the stuff's been done to. And I think that's messed up.
Yeah, I think there should be some kind of gradients in, like, how... The burden of truth has to be pretty bloody high to allow you to torture someone to get information out of him. However, interesting point.
He didn't torture him.
I mean...
He stood on his leg.
All right, well, he shot him in the leg and then stomped on it.
Potato, potato.
Yeah. It's fine. I wouldn't feel tortured if you did that to me. But yeah, I think you gotta assume that in reality most people don't. But here, Harry did know it, and he did the right-ish thing because he knew that someone's life was on the line, and he had to get the info.
But did you notice when he was doing that? He's like, what was it he was saying to him? He was like the Scorpio.
Oh, I got rights. Yeah.
But he's it's really weird how, because isn't it, that was the shot you were like, because it goes all blurry.
Yeah, yeah.
As it goes out, doesn't it?
It pans out really, it doesn't pan out. It just probably zooms out. We were talking about, like, did they get like a helicopter and smear Vaseline all over the lens or something?
But it's a really weird scene actually, isn't it? Because the way he's just kind of standing on him and then it goes out. And there's so much light because all the lights go on around the field. Mm. They put on, it's nighttime, but they put on those lights. And he's just like kind of lying there going, like this. Yeah. And it's just really...
And it adds a weird sense of delirium.
It's weird. Yeah. And he's got someone with him, that guy he calls Fatso.
Yeah.
He's basically like, go home, Fatso.
Yeah. Well, he sorted him right out and put the fucking... Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. He told him to leave when he started
torturing. He told him to leave, yeah. So...
Plausible deniability.
Yeah, but I don't have any problem. Because look what happens. He gets released because they haven't got enough to go on.
Because and he tortured him.
Yeah, but you know.
If he just run and tackled him.
And I get that you got to kind of think to yourself, I need to get this guy and not... I suppose when you think about it, Harry gets very emotionally involved and he kind of takes matters into his own hands and... There is a consequence to that, and it's not the consequence so much that you shouldn't have done that because that's not the law. It's more like because you did that, you've fucked this up, and now he's free to go out and do this again, and we haven't got the girl alive.
Yeah, there's one result or another. Unfortunately, she was dead anyway.
Yeah, but as he said, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
He didn't, no.
And you have to, and you can't just assume if someone's been held ransom, you can't just assume that they're dead because otherwise, you know, you're just like, oh, what's the point? And they might be alive because not everyone gets killed.
No, but like in that scenario, they're usually dead.
Yeah, because he really didn't, he wasn't somebody that would. And I don't even think he gave a shit about the money, to be honest with you. I just think he liked the whole... taunting and sending the letters through the classifieds and all this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah,
I think he enjoyed the attention that he was getting.
No, I agree. I think the whole, like, I want money in a jet, like, oh, that'll stop him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be fine. That it was just a means to an end, obviously not.
But it did seem like, because Harry was, like, saying to them, why are you giving him this stuff? Like, why? And they did seem like they weren't really doing anything other than here's the money.
Yeah, well, no, they were taking a bunch of action, but like,
I didn't feel like they were.
No, but then they capitulated immediately, like when faced with like, ooh, this is bad PR, instead of holding the line and being like, no, this isn't going to solve the problem. They just were like, fuck it, give him the money and hopefully he'll stop kind of thing. That was weak. And I think most, if you did that today and then like you managed to give him the money and then he killed someone, you'd be fucking torn apart in the press.
Well, I suppose that's the thing as well, because when you've got like mayors involved and all this kind of stuff, they're more worried about votes and how it's going to look on their watch. So they just, it's almost like, look, let's just give him the money. He's going to give her back to us. We'll look like great because we got her back. You know, they don't, I don't think they really think of the bigger picture because someone like that, if he gets the money and goes off, it's not like he's going to stop doing it because he enjoys it too much.
No, I completely agree. He's not, you know, he likes shooting people. Well, he likes just killing people. It seems like he does it other ways as well. But he mostly likes a good shoot, pew pew.
Yeah, I suppose with the whole sniper thing on the rooftops.
The fucking 10-year-old kid thing, that was pretty whack.
What 10-year-old kid
thing? Remember he shoots the 10-year-old kid?
Yeah. Oh, that was horrible. Yeah, because as well with him, because he turned around and said that he was going to shoot, first of all, a... black
Catholic
person
priest.
And a priest, yeah. Wasn't it?
Specifically a Catholic priest.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because it looked like the person he found, the black person, it looked like it was also a gay person.
Because they had a fabulous purple poncho on.
No, but he was getting close with the other fella. But luckily he didn't get him. And the priest, to be fair, he was willing to be bait to try and get him out, you know. On
he
the
did get blasted, didn't he?
The priest?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think he did.
No, I think he like legs it past and blasts him.
All right. But yeah, so he kind of has like he picks certain people.
Wait,
but
no, that might have been another cop.
Yeah.
Remember someone got shot.
Yeah, I didn't think it was the priest, no. But he doesn't really, I think when you shoot a child, it's like all bets are off. and that, you know, he's just going to go for everyone because, you know, first of all, because he says about how he wants to kill a black person and he kills a black child, you think that it's just because it's a black child. But then as we see later on, he just takes a bus full of kids.
Yeah.
You know, like doesn't matter.
You can imagine if this happened in San Francisco today, like up until that point, would have loads of support from certain factions in America. Like, yeah, kill the gays and blacks and stuff. And then, like, you kill a kid and it's like, yeah, no, you know, no one's on board with that. You know, like,
yeah, but that's the sad thing, isn't it? Like, some people wouldn't care if a certain person was murdered, but, you know, which is ridiculous. But, yeah, when you start with the children, then children and old age pensioners or people with some sort of special need.
Generally off limits. The vulnerable.
Yeah, they're kind of the ones that everyone's like, oh, wait, come on, you crossed the line. Which is, I mean, obviously it is, but then
And white women. Young white women, yes. They're generally...
Yeah, you know, when a...
If we're talking about press outrage.
Yeah, if a young, white, pretty white girl goes, yeah, that's been quite a big thing actually lately in the true crime community. But... Yeah, so, but when I saw the kid, because I'd forgotten about the little kid.
Mm. Yeah, that was messed up.
You know, I thought it was messed up. But then, obviously, he's quite manipulative in the sense that he is trying to play the press and get the sympathy of the people when he takes matters into his own hand and pays that guy to beat him up.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I thought he was, I was like, what's he doing? Is he going, I thought maybe he was going to buy another rifle or something because his got nicked. And then, yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, he gets the shit pushed in, you know, by this big dude with the gloves.
Yeah, because he pays £200 for it.
Penny.
Yeah, but I, $200,
which,
sorry.
You know, is.
That would have been a lot of money in the 70s.
Nearly eight times the cost of Harry's trousers.
Oh yeah,
yeah. $29.50. I'll take them off.
I love that. I know. Yeah. Whereas today, I'd be like, oh, they're only $29.50. Yeah, but when
Marks and Sparks fucking trousers.
when he goes there and he asks that, because like that's like, because obviously the whole theme for this month is violent movies, and this film is extremely violent in places. And to me, I really struggle with someone being beaten up.
Yeah, that's. For
I
real,
watched it with my eyes wide open with that one. I didn't feel anything, and he proper went for it, like,
yeah. You know? No, I know. There's like, proper, like, really aggressive violence. I think...
It wasn't fast. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know when you've seen, like, people on the floor and they're getting kicked and punched and stuff like that? Maybe that's what it was. Your man was quite slow in what he was doing, you know,
it's
and he'd fall on...
real life.
No. You know? And it wasn't a too... Like, he wasn't trying to fight back.
What was that, like, gangster film with Viggo Mortensen?
History of Violence.
Yes. Now, that had some proper, like, oh, my God, violence in it.
Mm.
Whereas this, you know, this is old school film violence. They hadn't figured out how to make it look, like, disturbing.
I think they did a good job. Well, I suppose parts of it, for me, were the violence in it was the fact of how he was, like, murdering people. And then, obviously, he gets out and he takes that school bus.
Yeah,
like which you mentioned earlier, and I, because like he,
I think that's my favorite bit where he's like properly deranged kind of thing going on there, making the kids sing songs and shit.
Yeah, because he gets on at the start, and because I suppose kids, especially back then, because obviously I was a kid that grew up in the 70s, kind of if an adult kind of told you what to do, you were like, okay, you know, especially you're on a school bus, the school driver's there, and then he gets on. So it might not seem overly strange, but then obviously as they start to drive out of where they live, because he's quite nice, like kids, let's sing, and they're singing songs and stuff like
until
that.
The kid doesn't want
to. Yeah, I want my mommy.
What does he say to him? I can't remember now.
Well, they start asking when they're going to be going home, and they, you know, miss their mommy, and I want my, and he hits that kid.
Oh yeah, he slaps the
he
shit
proper
out of him.
He slaps
it, yeah.
That kid, like, and the kid starts crying.
Sing the fucking song, yeah.
Row, row, row your boat.
Yeah, no. That
gently
was...
down the stream.
Yeah.
The way he sings that, but then I love it because obviously he's gone off like It was funny how we did that.
Stream.
I know. And then
the way you said that. It cuts to the, it's like that, and then it cuts immediately to the driver who's like crying her eyes out. I laughed as well. I don't know why.
No, but for me, really it was weird. His face, because yeah. He was like possessed looking as his head was like going, moving from side to side as he was saying, row, row, row the boat. Yeah. And the kids are like trying to sing it as well. And of course, you know, Harry has been told to leave it alone. Don't go near. And the next thing, he's driving along. They're driving along and he looks out the window. And there on the railway bridge, Harry is just like standing there.
Oh, that is such an awesome shot, to be fair. He's just fucking stood there. I mean, like, if I were the Scorpio in that situation, right? Obvious first choice is just take a hostage. You've got a whole ton of them.
Mm.
Like, just put a gun to one of them. So I was kind of like, why didn't he do that? But you know, I was able to look past that just for the awesomeness of it.
I know, because as well, I thought what was strange about it was where he was standing. It's not like it was a railway track and then he just steps off of it onto grass or something. It was like, it was proper, like he had to walk to there.
If a train came while he was waiting.
Oh, he'd have been screwed.
He's like stood there like, all right, I'm going to do my dramatic pose. And then the fucking train comes and he's got to like leg it.
Yeah, he would have been.
And then the bus comes past.
Shit. It would have been a different film if they'd done that.
Yeah. You know, cool people always know the train timetables.
Is that why you never know yours?
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, so he's standing there, but I like the way he's kind of standing really tall, and he's like one leg is out in front of the other, and he's like got his sunglasses on, and then he jumps down onto the bus, and he manages to do this whole thing without losing his sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's that freaking cool.
Well, and to hide the fact that it's a stunt double, obviously.
Nah, it was him the whole time.
That's a good thing that bus had a big like roof rack thing on it.
Yeah, but they do, don't they?
No, they fucking don't.
What, school bus? I don't know.
Big, did you big go, railing around
I suppose
the
you went on a yellow school bus, didn't you?
No, I never did, no.
How come?
You can't fucking get school buses everywhere in America. You gotta get driven.
Really?
Yeah. Unless you live in the city.
Did you not live in a city of LA?
No, I lived in a suburb.
Oh, right. Okay, I thought that's
either that or I just lived a very privileged life, possibly.
Didn't your mum drive around in a massive white, like Mercedes or something?
No.
What was it, the big white one that she was driving when she got caught up in the riots back in the 90s?
No, that was, yeah, when we were little, she had this blue convertible Mustang with white wall tires. That's what you're thinking
of. Oh, right, yeah, because she was telling me about how she got stuck in the riots with that.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes he drives off into this kind of like quarry, doesn't he, type place, and then just gets out and runs.
Yeah, I know, right? He's got like a ton of children hostages. To be fair, though, that doesn't save him later.
No, because he then sees this little kid fishing. He must be about 12. And he takes him hostage. And Harry shoots him. And he does that thing where he's holding the guy hostage, but he still manages to get him. And then he does that another epic speech of,
oh, yeah.
Did he fire six shots or only five? Which I love that, especially at the beginning when he does it with the bank robbers.
The bank
guy's
robber
like,
one is one of the best
gets to know.
You know, I literally still reference that. Like, anytime there's something that, like, I really just like, oh man, I really need to know that what that was. Like, that, I always quote that.
Well, I gets to know.
Yeah, I gets to know. It's really hard to find a gif of that, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I say really hard.
One.
I mean, like,
no,
there is a gif. I just mean it took more than, like, one search.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah,
But no, that is for sure one of the best scenes. I can't believe we skipped over that at the very start of the fucking film.
Yeah.
Where he sat there, like, well, stood there eating his fucking hot dog, shooting it.
Because the whole time at the beginning when the bank robbery goes off and he just, like, walks along, like, cool as a cucumber, like, firing away. And he's, like, chewing on his hot dog.
Yeah.
The whole time. And then until...
Still munching
until he gets to the guy and he's like...
It would have been a very different scene if he'd still had his mouth full of hot dogs.
Reggie Punk.
Got any water? It's a bit dry. But yeah, so he does it again with... Yeah, it's definitely better when he does it with the guy at the beginning, because when he does it with the other guy, with Scorpio, he's just got that kind of like, you see the way he looks and his mouth kind of opens, like it's like open the whole time.
A sneer and a scowl.
Yeah, it's kind of like, huh? Like, and then he, of course, goes to, he doesn't you know, give in. He goes to grab the gun.
He does feel lucky.
Yeah, exactly. And Harry then, you know.
I want to point out one inconsistency at this point.
Okay.
Which is that throughout the quarry, there's like a big shootout. You know, he's chasing him through the quarry and they're exchanging fire the whole bloody time. Actually, I suppose if he only made 5 shots throughout that whole thing, fuck it. I'm going to count it. Every time I watch the film, I mean to count the shots and I always forget. But they're like shooting back and forth for ages and doing a really shit job of hitting anything close to each other.
And then
he's got like a hostage and just with like his shoulders sticking out. And Harry's able to literally just like no-scope him like from the hip, basically. And so I was like, where was that aim earlier, dude? You could have just shot him.
Yeah, because then when he's got the little kid, he's like perfect shot as he shoots him.
Yeah.
And the little kid then runs away.
Yeah, from the hip, because he lowers the gun and then he just whips it back up and blasts him. And like, imagine if he just shot the kid in the face by accident. Shit.
Yeah, that would have been really funny, Dev.
I know. I got a weird sense of humor.
Yeah, that would have been weird. But
I was asking people on the internet today, if you had to eat a person, like, would you like make them tasty?
What? Why were you asking that?
Well, because we were watching Dirty Harry and eating pork with crackling, and we were joking about how like weird it is that like it's so good to eat skin. The skin's the best bit.
Mm.
And I was like, it makes me sound like a cannibal. And then I was like, just start thinking.
Did you go onto Reddit and say that?
I did, God. Yeah. And you know what?
Well,
people said they'd make him tasty. It's like if you had spices and stuff, like, and you had to cook someone and eat them, like, you're gonna just jazz it up a bit, right?
Hannibal did.
Well, yeah, he had the right idea, man.
Yeah.
But you know, like, you crackle that skin up.
Good to know.
Delish. I feel like this is on topic for your channel.
Could you make crackling though without human skin?
I don't know. Maybe if they were like kind of fat. You know, I think you need the fat to like to go. You know, you would.
Don't Google it.
No,
don't want that on your web search.
How to cook a human?
How to make crackling
tasty human skin?
Crackling. Human
Jesus
skin.
Christ! Yeah, my FBI guy.
God. Okay. Well, on that note, do you have anything to add?
No, that took a weird turn, didn't it?
I know.
I'm a strange person. I'm sorry. It's an awesome film, and like, it's. I feel like we haven't even managed to encapsulate like the awesome feel of the whole way it's shot. It is fucking dark all the goddamn time, though. I was like, yeah. You know what? I could do with being able to see a little bit here.
Yeah, there are times, because there's times when they're going through the city and it's nighttime and he's going through that little alley. And yeah, they do that with a lot of stuff I watch, because obviously I watch a lot of dark stuff. And
so dark.
No, but sometimes I do get a bit frustrated because I'm like, I know it's supposed to be dark, but we want to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's this Game of Thrones thing all over, isn't it? But this was unintentional. I think this is just that the cameras lacked the dynamic range to actually.
Well, there
do
were
it.
Certain shots where I noticed, like, you know, when they were moving and stuff like that, I thought, you know, oh, they've just gotten and done that and said that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
I felt like this was more content than what and then how it was done, if you know what I mean. Like, you watch some films and it's very more about how it's shot and everything, whereas I feel like this is more about the acting and the story rather than how it's necessarily shot in parts.
No, in terms of how it's shot, it's lots of Clint Eastwood, you know, with a cool face on or like a cool pose or like
looking amazing.
Yeah, you know, one parting, you know, scathing parting one liner type thing. And that's
and
like
kind of moving his mouth in a certain way. He kind of,
it's very cool.
He's extremely cool. And there's certain, you know, I just don't think. A lot of people, like I seen that Burt Lancaster, Steve McQueen and Paul Newman were asked to play this role. And I think they probably could have. I don't really know much about Steve McQueen, but the other two, Paul Newman, I think, could have done it. But then I think Paul Newman, like Clint Eastwood's a very handsome looking guy, whereas Paul Newman was just fucking hot. Like, do you know what I mean?
So hot.
I think he was too good looking for the role, Paul Newman, whereas,
I mean, Clint Eastwood's a very
but Paul Newman is fucking hot, you know, whereas Clint Eastwood is more like handsome.
Well, this is kind of my objection to Pierce Brosnan as 007. It's like
too handsome,
too much of a pretty boy, to be taken like seriously in a kind of brawling kind of.
I think a lot of the. I think Connery was as well.
No.
Yeah.
Connery had like, you know, he had the suave thing down, but he also had the fight. Anyway, I agree with you. I think Paul Newman probably couldn't have pulled it off. Who else could have as a contemporary though?
I don't know. I think, you know, well, go
just
on.
Picturing Connery doing it.
Sean Connery.
Yeah, just like as a kind of wisecracking Scottish cop in San Francisco PD. No, yeah. Just
you feel lucky punk. What are you seeing? I'm ready to fire. That's a really shit accent.
That was a horrendous accent. You had it until the last part. You pushed it too far. But
I know. I went too far.
That would have been, that wouldn't have worked.
No.
I'm not going to try because I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to embarrass myself like you just did.
Meh. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, classic film. If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. Hopefully you'll have like a more normal reaction to parts of it than like me. But I think it's a classic for good reason.
Yeah, and I will definitely watch it again because it's a film that I always watch every year at least once.
Do you?
Yeah.
You lie.
I watch it a lot.
All right. Well.
Yeah, that, Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, you do watch that.
Aliens. All About Eve. I do watch these films quite a lot. But yeah, I do love this film.
We're due a watch of Lord of the Rings at some point soon.
Okay. Oh yeah, like when are we going to find the time to do that?
I don't know.
Someone come take our kid for 3 days.
Yeah. We'll do the entire extended edition somehow. Yeah, no chance.
Right. Okay. Anything to add?
Beautiful.
Oh, it's true. This is a face for podcasting, not the YouTube version. Anyway, thank you, my darling husband, for coming on. And I hope everyone's enjoyed Violent Movie Month. I have done Taxi Driver with Ray, Scarface with Stuart, Cape Fear with Bobby, and Badlands with Harry. I suppose I should really say the podcast. So Ray's being bookish, Stuart is British Murders, Bobby is Killer Stories, and Harry is Harry, and Dev is Dev.
Yeah.
So
you can find me
where?
At home most nights. I don't get out much.
We give you an address, like I'm knocking at the door. Yeah. Okay, so thanks for listening, and I will be back next week with my next episode that's back to horror, is Scream 4. So I will chat to you then. Bye.
Bye-bye.